And I want to share a few things with you this morning. But I want to take you back to a moment earlier this year when me and Jake were, we were given some tickets to a Premier League football match by a friend of ours. And they blessed us with them, and we'd been to the game. And after the match, we were in a large crowd of people who were all heading for the tube. The atmosphere was quite pleasant. The home team, who shall remain nameless, had lost, but the atmosphere was pretty pleasant. And the police started holding us back because the tube could only take so many people at once. And so the crowd began to amass, and Jake was sort of squeezed in there with me. And what happened was the fans began to sing. And they began to sing a song that was aimed at the owners of that club, who had bought the club a number of years earlier on, made a number of promises that the fans felt they'd not delivered on. And after about 9 or so years, over the last year or so, there'd been some songs of protest because the fans felt after 9 years that they'd been lied to. And they were pretty upset about that, promises of investment and buying players and certain ways of running the club. And this song began to be sung. Now, I'm not going to name the owners because I don't want to end up with some kind of lawsuit suggesting that they weren't telling the truth. So for the benefit of today, the owners of this football club will be renamed. I've got Chris in the room and I've got Paddy in the room. So we'll pretend they're the owners of the football club in this song. But the song went like this. It went, come on, Chris and Paddy, where is all the money? It's all lies, lies, lies. It's all lies, lies, lies. Now, remember, I'm not singing about Chris and Paddy because they are very generous. But I'm singing. And what happened was the atmosphere began to change. And you could feel this tangible frustration, anger that began to creep in, disillusionment and negativity. And Jake became very aware of it. And having been quite relaxed, I remember him sort of squeezing in tight against me, just like that kind of like, oh, Dad, what's going on here? Something's kind of in the atmosphere. And, of course, behavior starts to go a little bit down here with people around you. The police are kind of there and getting involved. But the frustration, the anger, the disillusionment, the negativity that the fans felt, having been lied to, was tangible. And I remember standing there thinking to myself, wow, look how much or what a lie can breed. What an atmosphere or an environment it can cause. And I want to talk to you this morning about the power of a lie. Do you know there is tremendous power and influence in a lie? And it's why, as a Christian, the devil is absolutely desperate to get you to believe them. He'll tell you lies about God. These are just a few examples. You know, there's so many. God's not good. God's forgotten you. You really need to do more. He doesn't love you as much as he loves other people. He doesn't love you at all. Look at what's happened in your life. Look at what is happening. Does he really love you? Does he really care? You're alone. He'll tell you lies about yourself. He'll either do it directly or he can even do it through others to feed lies into your lives. You're no good, not good enough. You're never going to amount to anything. You're unlovable or not as lovable. You're a born worrier. Everything you touch goes wrong. You're destined to be that way. You're destined to be sick because everyone else around you and your family's been sick. That's just the way you are. You've got to live with that and accept that. He'll tell you lies about your actions. It doesn't matter if you do that. It doesn't matter if you act like that or speak like that or if you want that. That's normal to want that, act like that, speak like that, think like that. He's constantly selling us these lies because he knows that a lie has the power to spoil the atmosphere of our life, the environment in which we live, to cause some of like what we felt that day in that crowd, that frustration, that anger, that even that kind of outworking of wrong behavior can be caused by a lie, that disillusionment or that cloud of negativity. Do you know, at the center and heart of so many destructive patterns in people's lives is a lie that's being believed. And since the beginning of creation, lies have been derailing men and women's relationship with God, spoiling men and women's relationship with God. You know, when we think back, you know, we point to sin as the cause of that. That's what spoiled man and woman's relationship with God. That's what derailed things, spoiled the atmosphere and environment in which God had called them to live in. Now, of course, that's absolutely true. But you know, I want to point out to you this morning, before Adam and Eve sinned, they first believed a lie. And the lie was ultimately to get them to sin. the lie led them away from God and into sin. Genesis 3, verse 1 to 5 says this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." That's what God said to them. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." There's the lie. God said, "You cannot touch it, lest you will die." The serpent says, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. You know, Eden was the atmosphere and environment that God chose for their Adam and Eve to be home, that he had for them to live in. And Eden in itself means a pleasure and a delight. They lived in an atmosphere and an environment that was charged and full of the goodness of God. It was full of pleasure and delight given to them by God for them to enjoy. It's where they enjoyed a close relationship with him, walking and talking with him in the cool of the day, knowing his love. And this was the atmosphere and environment God intended for them to live in. But I want you just to see there how a lie opened the door to the enemy's spoiling work. Lies give the enemy a foothold. If we believe them, they open the door to his spoiling work in our life and in our relationship with God. When they believed the lie about God, his goodness, and about themselves, and about their actions and the consequences of them, it spoiled everything. You know, John 8, verse 44, Jesus tells us the devil is the best at telling or selling believable lies. He says that he is, quote, the father of lies. In other words, he specializes in it. And the reason he's set himself to do so is because that's how he gains influence in our life. Because lies have tremendous influencing power. It was only when Eve began to agree with the lie that the enemy sold her that things began to go horribly wrong. And you know, maybe you're watching today at home, or for the few of you who are in the room today, and the devil's actually been really successful at causing you to believe a lie. That could be about God, that could be about yourself, or that could be about your actions. Now I want to ask you, how do you know if you've believed a lie? I want you to consider with me this morning three things. One, how you're thinking. Two, how you're feeling. And three, how you're speaking. See, lies, they first come in here. Then they go from here to here into our heart. We believe them, we accept them. And then what we begin to find is they flow out of here. We begin to speak them, words of agreement. Now, I want to just put a disclaimer in that it might just get a little bit worse before it gets better. Okay, so bear with me. The ending's good. Hang in there, I promise. I want to just give you a few sober warnings around them things about the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we speak. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That's powerful because it means what we think of as truth becomes truth in our lives. Now, listen to this. I want to say to you, don't believe or trust everything you think. Because the devil may have just got you thinking something about God or yourself or your actions that isn't true. You know, I read a piece recently about the brain and the eye, and it said this. It was saying how the optic nerve, which is the only one that goes directly to your brain, actually sends more impulses from your brain forward than from your eye backwards, which means your brain is telling you what you see. That means we see what we want to see. And that simply means that what we see isn't always true. We're seeing what our mind is telling us. So if the devil has said to you, "You're unlovable," what do we see? And that's in our mind. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, we see someone who's unlovable. I'll give you another example. You see someone who's got low self-esteem. They feel they're not good enough. They're a failure. They don't match up to others. You tell them that's not true, that's a lie, but they can't see it. All they can see is what's wrong. All they can see is someone who's not good enough, who fails, who doesn't match up to others. Friends, the root of the issue isn't so much in what they see as so much as a lie the enemy's caused them to believe. Their mind is telling them what they see. It's the same with sin. You say to someone, you shouldn't do that, and they say, well, I can't see what's wrong with it. I think that's fine to think like that or act like that or make that decision or do that thing. Friends, the root issue is a lie. The root issue is a wrong way of thinking. So just because you see it or think it, it doesn't mean it's true. So I can't always trust or believe the way I think or everything I think. Number two, what about my feelings? Well, I did warn you. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Oh my life. So I can't just always trust the way I think or what I see. I can't always trust everything I feel about myself or my situation. Not everything I feel about myself or my situation is true. So coming back to it again, someone who says they might feel unlovable or whatever, and I say to you, that's a lie. You say, well, this is the way I feel. But Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things. That means it's sly and slippery and fraudulent and crooked. You can lie to yourself. The truth might come and you say, no, that's not true. Your heart it can be fraudulent. Oh, you're rubbish. God says something different, but your lie's telling you that. Your heart's telling you that. You know, I need to remember that when I come to make my choices and my decisions, because not everything I'm telling about myself about those things or feeling about them, oh, this just feels the right thing to do, even though it's not. Because I can lie to myself. I don't know about you, but I'm really great at justifying the stuff I do. You know, finding a way around it. The devil's great at helping you to do that. So just because it feels good or right or okay doesn't mean it is. And so in the Garden of Eden, we see here they fall into sin because they believe a lie. So that God has told them they can eat of every tree, but they must not touch that one tree lest they die. The enemy comes along and says, you will not die, because God knows that if you open your eyes, you're going to be opened. You'll be like God. You're knowing good and evil. Next thing we know in verse 6, where they're now looking at a tree which before they knew the truth about that tree, that it was a tree they shouldn't touch. Now all of a sudden it says it's become good for food. It was a delight to their eyes and they desired it. Wow, isn't it amazing how God could put them in an environment that was absolutely stacked full of blessing and good and all these positive things that God had got for them to enjoy, but the devil somehow twisted one thing into a negative and suddenly everything begins to derail. I just wonder if in your lives, actually there are so many positive things, so many ways in which God had blessed you, so many things about you that are so good and that God wants to use you for, so many things in your life that he's actually poured out for your blessing and your good, but the enemy's took like one little thing and he's began to turn it into a negative thing, and all of a sudden you can't see the 1,000 positives for the one negative. The enemy lies, he lies, he lies. Thirdly, I said we've got to consider the way we're speaking. Luke 6, verse 45 says, out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. The New Living Translation says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. That's both positive and negative, of course. Perhaps pops that scripture up for you as well. That's both a positive and a negative thing. One of the surest ways you'll know if someone's believed a lie about God or themselves or their actions is by the way they speak. Oh boy, so I can't always trust the way I think. I can't always trust the way I feel. Now I can't even always trust the fact that just because I say it, it doesn't mean it's true. Because the devil could have sold you a lie and it's gone from here to here and now it's coming out of here. And you're thinking right now, I'm so blessed I tuned in this morning. Daryl's really cheering me up. I can't trust or believe everything I think, everything I feel, or everything I say. Man, what a wonderful morning we're having together this morning. So you're sitting there right now, maybe in the room or at home, saying to yourself, well, if I can't trust or believe everything I think, feel, or say, what can I believe? What can I trust? Well, praise, I'm so glad you're asking that question. And I hope to help answer it. John 8, verse 32 says this. Such well-known words. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the truth sets you free, what does a lie do? It ties you up. It brings bondage. It restricts your life. So God says, Adam and Eve, I'm good. I want the best for you, and everything you need is found in me. And Satan says, God's not good. He don't want the best for you. He's holding stuff back. You need to go outside of God for what you really want and need. This battle for influence. Friends, as a Christian, there's such a battle for your mind. Because if it can go from here to here and out of here, the influence that lie can have in your life. Which am I going to believe, the devil's lies or God's truth? Is my mind going to run with the truth of his goodness? That was the dilemma they faced in the garden. Is my mind going to run with the truth of his goodness or with the lies of the enemy, of who God is and who I am? One is going to bring me freedom and liberty. The truth of God is going to bring me freedom and liberty to enjoy all who he is and all he has for me and all who I am in him. The other is going to bring me bondage and confusion. I like the way the Passion Translation puts it. It says this: if you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives. If you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives. The footnotes there said this: truth must be embraced and worked out. The Greek word for truth is reality. To embrace the reality of Christ brings more freedom into your life. In other words, who is Jesus? And who am I in him? And who is he in me? And as I embrace this, it brings more freedom into my life. The Message version says, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you're my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will set you free. You can experience truth setting you free in your life. I forget who it was, the Argentinian revival. He says, in our nation, you're good at getting people saved, but not so good at helping them get free. Friends, the truth will help you get free. The truth will break the lies of the enemy in your life. But we have to keep embracing it. We have to make sure that it's getting in here, that it's going down to here, and that it's flowing out of here. Friends, this book is so important. I want to encourage you to please open this book, because this is the truth. When we can't always trust what we think, feel, and say, we sure can trust this word. This is the truth. It's in these pages that Jesus reveals who he is. This is the truth. He is the word, and the word is him. His truth, this is in here, in his very word. And in your head and in your heart and in your words, if you've believed a lie, the only way to break them is by believing, thinking upon, believing, and beginning to confess and speak out the truth. Bill Johnson said this. He said, you will never see God reveal truth just to make us smarter or more capable of debating with those who see differently. Truth by nature is the transforming power of God to instill freedom in the life of those who embrace it. It could be said that freedom exists in a person's life to the degree he embraces truth from the heart. It's more than a mental agreement to a concept called truth. It is the heartfelt yes to a way of life. That way of life becomes measurable in our lifestyle of freedom. Jesus put it this way: you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. My journey starts to break down when my thoughts violate who he is. I love that. Lies are costly, as they steal life from all who embrace them. Tragically, if I believe a lie, I empower the liar. The devil is the enemy of our souls. He works to trip us up through lies, intimidation, accusation, and seduction. His aim is to get us to question who God really is. The battle: am I going to embrace the truth of who God is, who God says I am, and begin to speak that over my life? Or am I going to embrace those lies from the enemy? It's a war, and if you've ever been in a war, and I never have, I do understand this principle. I can't decide to switch off on a day. I won't bother today, because you leave yourself wide open. It's a daily battle. I don't know about you, but I face that daily battle in my life. There's a battle for the mind. And every day I've got to confront those lies with the truth of Christ, who he is and who I am in him. It's essential, Jesus says, to living a truer and freer life. And only his truth breaks those lies that the enemy speaks over me. Read his word and let that truth speak over your life and shatter those lies of the enemy. Friends, you've got to apply it to your life. That's why I say you've got to speak it out. The Pharisees could memorize the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. They knew them. They knew the scripture like that inside out. Yet Jesus said to them, you neither knew the scriptures nor the power of God. In other words, do you know what? You can read this book you can learn the Bible without really knowing it. I remember someone saying they knew loads of scripture, and they said, but I'm not experiencing anything happening in life. And I remember someone once saying, look, that's because you know the scripture, but I know the author. This is where you get to know Jesus in here. And so we need to, the Pharisees, sure they can memorize scripture, but it wasn't doing them any good because they didn't know the author. They didn't experience the power of God. You've got to apply what this says to your life. Let it go from here to here and out of here. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I can agree with God with life and speak and confess and agree with his opinion over my life, with the truth of his word and who he is. That's positive. Or with the devil, the lies he's told me about who God is, who I am, and I confess and agree with those. But both have the power to shape my life. You know, as I begin to kind of just begin to draw things towards a close here, I just want you to understand how both the truth of God and the lie of the enemy has the power to shape your identity and your purpose. It's just a question of which will. I want to encourage you today, don't let the enemy's lies transform and shape your life. Let the truth of Jesus do that. Let that bring that transformation and shaping of your life. It just struck me this week that when the enemy sold a lie to Eve, it immediately began to confuse identity and purpose. Because in Genesis 1, verse 27, it says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God has said, Adam and Eve, I speak over you the truth that I have made you in my image. You are like me. And in Genesis 2, we see that their purpose was to work and keep this garden for God and to enjoy it and to enjoy him and to enjoy his goodness and to enjoy that fellowship with him. But Satan comes along and says, no. If you eat this fruit, you will be like God. But God had already spoken, you are like me. I've created you in my image. But now Satan's going, no, you've got to do this to be like God. Can you see how we're questioning identity? You know, he's beginning to cause them confusion, not really understanding who they are. They're created in his image. And he's beginning to say, you need to eat. So in other words, you've got to do something. Now he's confusing their purpose. And all of a sudden, their identity crisis and a purpose crisis is going on. Friends, I think there's so many people in the world right now having massive identity crisis and massive purpose crisis. And the enemy's doing that in Christians' people's lives. Because he wants to mess up your understanding of who you are, who God is, who you are in him, and what your purpose is. What you need to do and don't need to do. And believing those lies, it robs us of understanding who we are in Jesus. You know, the devil is the author of the whole identity theft movement. I read a quote that was part of that piece earlier on that I read by Bill Johnson. He said this, he said, I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that God doesn't have in his head about me. And there are some lies that some of us have believed, and I mean believe them, about God, ourselves, and our actions. And as I finish this morning, I want to just read to you some well-known words just as we begin to deal with those things. I'm going to ask the band to come back. So I want us to sing a closing song together this morning before Wendy and Lois just come and take us through what's happening and what's coming up. But as the band come back, I want to read you some well-known words, and I want to read them in two versions. One version and one translation. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 5 says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The Message version says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Praise God. I wonder if you guys can just begin to play for me. That would be fab. You know, Rick Warren, he says this. He says, a stronghold is a mental block. And I just believe it's like some of the lies of the enemy have become like mental blocks in our lives. And the Message version simply says this: tear down the barriers that are erected against the truth of God. Destroy those mental blocks. Destroy those lies. Strongholds can be many different things in the way we think, but I'm just talking today about lies, things that erect themselves against the truth of God. And I've often talked about how it says you've got to take them things captive. And I've always thought of it, you've just got to capture them, just so you're not running around in my head. And you lay a hold of it. But, you know, I've done a bit of word study and it just really spoke to me. And I'm finishing now. And that word captive means you've got to, it needs to be controlled and conquered and brought into submission. And that word, when it says to make it obedient, it means to bring into submission and to bring under control. As I read that, I just felt like God was saying, in some of His children's lives, there are some lies and there are some thoughts about Him, you, and your actions that God's saying they need to come into submission. They need to be brought under control. They need to be conquered. I think about like a wrestling match when you see someone tap out. You know, it's a submission move. They have submission moves in wrestling. I used to watch it when I was a kid. Praise God, I've been set free from that now. But as they would wrestle with them, they would do submission holds. And as they applied the pressure, the person would just tap out. Friends, in our lives, in some of your lives, it's time for some of those lies to tap out. You know, the lies about you, about God, and about those actions. Some of them things, friends, and I'm talking to you now, some of them things you're not calling sin right now, they're sin. And that lie needs to tap out and give way in your life. That's got to be broken down. Some of them thoughts, that's not God. That lie needs to tap out. Some of them thoughts about Him and you. It's time for those things to be brought under control and to surrender to the truth of who He is. They're doing damage. It's a battle that we have to fight. But God says you win it by using the God tools, it says in the Message version, and you destroy them. One way is the truth of His word, and I've spoken to you about that. Another God tool that we have this morning is prayer. I've spoken about His word, but I want to finish this morning by praying right now. And I want to appeal to you at home and in the room. If there is a lie, if there is something about God or yourself or your actions this morning that is doing damage in your life, that is causing a destructive pattern, and you know it because it fills your mind the way you think about God, yourself, or your actions. You know it because in your heart that's how you feel. And you know it because you keep speaking it and you keep agreeing it and you keep confessing with it. I want to pray right now. If you're at home, I want you to just reach out your hands to Jesus. And we're going to finish by singing a song of the truth of who He is and who we are in Him. If you're in the room and that's you, if you're at home and that's you, just where you are, reach out your hands right now. We have a God tool in the form of prayer. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you by the truth and the power of your word that every lie of the enemy can be shattered and broken this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, I want to believe right now for every lie stronghold to be destroyed, every obstruction to be cleared. Lord, I'm calling in a new day of freedom for every brother and sister right now who is responding to this word. I am speaking a new day of freedom, a new freer life as we embrace the truth right now that there's no name higher than the name of Jesus, that we are a son and daughter of the living God. That's who we are, that we belong to the kingdom of God, that we are worthy of your sacrifice this morning. We think we're not, but Jesus, you count us as worthy. Lord, may, Lord God, the truth of how loved we are this morning, God, break into our life, how precious we are this morning, how worthy we are to you, even if we don't feel worthy, God, because Lord, you have given it all and you have done it all. Lord, and I pray that, Father God, those things that we're not calling sin right now in our lives, that God, right now you'll shine your truth upon them. And Father God, we will see, I'm sorry, God, this is sin, and we will turn from it. Lord God, those things that where we're thinking wrong, we're doing wrong, we're speaking wrong, I want to believe right now that the truth of who you are and who we are in you would break every one of those lies in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I am who you say I am. You are who you say you are. Lord, we worship you this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen.